Okay, what's up, fucker?
What's up, fucker?
We're on season two now. Isn't that exciting?
Season two! Electric season two.
Nailed it. Yep. I think we got a good method going now. I'm going to do some... okay, so what I'm going to do from now on is I'm going to read like a little bit of trivia from these like wikis and stuff about the websites. And I forgot...
There's extensive research that's already been done on this show on the internet. There's an entire King of the Hill wiki out there that's like... People have been doing the work.
Yeah. And we're just going to consolidate it. That's all. This is a collective effort, the internet, right? But
the world.
I forgot.
Loves this show.
So there's these little factoids about every episode. I'm going to kind of go back over the first season so nothing gets lost or whatever. But the last one, I forgot to read this one detail that's so funny to me, which is that when Bobby gets... like he drops all his shit out of his locker in that nightmare montage he was having.
Yeah, with all the tall girls.
He has a Mrs. Doubtfire lunchbox. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. I saw a Mrs. Doubtfire meme like 2 days ago that made me put my phone down. I was so mad. It was the movie poster, and Sally Field was saying, "There's a fire," and Robin Williams said, "I don't think so." Mrs. Doubtfire. And I stopped looking at the internet for a few minutes because I was really mad, but also I'm glad that exists.
That's mad funny, but I can see how it would make you angry.
Do you have any other trivia for the last season?
Nah, that we missed? I'm gonna compile all that for like one. We'll put it on the bonus feed or something.
Special.
Yeah. Let's get right into it. Season
episode two, one.
Episode one. I love this episode. I think about it all the time.
Yeah. The title of this episode is a joke in and of itself. How to fire a rifle without really trying. It's a like how to succeed in business without really trying. The musical.
Oh, yeah, duh.
And the film.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I knew it was something. I couldn't really tell. I was like, that's a
Yeah, they're always ass. Doing that. They're theater nerds, man. I've noticed that. There's a lot of musical theater stuff in here. And, you know, I like that.
Oh, yeah. Episode was first aired on September 21st, 1997. It was written by Paul Lieberstein and directed by Adam Coleman. Wallace Shawn guest stars in this episode, which I didn't ever put that together that was him until we were talking about it today. But I always remembered this character because he's like really good. And he says something that's stuck in my brain for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah, he's not just a character actor like legend. He's a voice acting legend, but he's always just lending his own unique voice to something. Like he doesn't really play characters, but he has played iconic characters by just being himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like a character actor where he just...
Yeah, but in animation as well. But like just, he's played lots of people, but he's always just doing his own inconceivable voice, you know?
But like, they also draw the guy to look like him. Mm-hmm. So he is a character
Every
actor.
Every time.
Even when he's animated.
Yeah. Even when he's like a dog. But yeah, he's like, we'll get to it though.
He's so funny.
Let's get to him later. But yeah, I love this episode. Yeah, and Paul Lieberstein, or is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Toby.
Toby.
From The Office.
Oh, damn. That's crazy. I didn't know that.
You know, Greg Daniels is the creator of The Office and Parks and Rec. And Toby was on The Office. And also Angela from The Office voices Angela in this episode.
Who the fuck's Angela?
The blonde one.
No, on King of the Hill.
Oh. I can't remember the character right now.
Is she like one of the girls at the event?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Well,
it's Toby from The Office.
Man, okay, that's really interesting. It's good to know. I didn't know that. And it's fun to learn how this all spider connects. Webs into its each other.
And boy, does it.
It's almost this, like it's one Hardwick, big club and we ain't in it.
Yeah. But Hardwick was the story editor on this one.
I can tell because it's very funny.
Yes.
Kind of just line for line, a bunch of bangers.
Bangers. All right, let's do it. It opens on Big Tex.
Yeah, Big Tex, the giant cowboy statue sign thing.
That burned
yeah.
to the ground in a fucking hellfire in the scariest way possible. He's a big, big, big cowboy. What is he made out of?
Something flammable, apparently.
Something
I would have thought
flammable.
I would have thought metal.
Probably paper mache. He's a big pinata and he waves. And like welcomes you into the state fair, and he burned down a few years ago, and it like looked like the end of the world.
It's the funniest thing ever. It's also the cover of Jay White Cotton's
album. Jay White Cotton's album, yeah. It's hanging in the Velve.
It's funny.
Pat Dean hung my record up at the Velve, so I'm on the wall now.
Nice. Cool.
Very nice.
My old boss at the bar I worked at in New York hung the album, the Eve 6 album that I'm on the cover of at
Beautiful.
The bar.
Fuck yeah.
People would come into the bar and they would like be, you know how you're bartending and they're just sort of staring directly, like their line of sight is like your chest kind of.
Yeah.
I'd be serving people drinks. Then they would, their eyes would come up, hit me in the face. They look at me and then I'd see them go up above me and they would be looking at the record and then back down. And then it would go like, hey, and I'd go, yeah, it's me.
Yeah, that's me. That's me there.
Yeah.
With the like sickest t-shirt of all time. Do you still have that t-shirt?
No, I lost it a long time ago, and I'm glad it's immortalized.
Yeah. Where did it? I almost asked you where you lost it.
You know,
hey, Jake, where did you lose it?
Because they put it on that album cover. Which, by the way, if you're listening, you don't know, I'm on the cover of an Eve 6 album. That's me.
yeah, just casually. Pop that, buddy.
Because that album is, like, famous, and it, like,
made that
picture go, you know, all over the place. The people who made it hit me up eventually. And they were, like, a really cool, you know, anarcho org or some shit in Texas. I got it at the Wendy Davis filibuster, so that makes sense.
Yes, totally. Was that at Fun Fest, the picture?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
My friend
I recognize the area.
It's like a vibe. It feels like Fun
the
Fest.
Yellow tent, bro.
Anyways, we're at Big Tex. He's at the carnival.
Waving.
There's a carnival happening, and Hank is with Bobby. They're playing
all the games.
Yeah, and he's trying to coach Bobby through, like, throwing a tennis ball at a bunch of milk bottles. You know, he's saying, yeah, whip your forearm and snap your wrist.
Yeah, and Bobby sucks at every game.
He throws the ball and hits a bunch of teddy bears.
Yeah.
But, like, not the ones you're supposed to hit, like the prizes. Yeah.
Well, it's like ricocheting off of stuff. And everyone's like, whoa. And then they get to the shooting game.
Yeah, because he's like, Bobby, let me throw a few of these. This man's trying to run a business. So he feels bad that he's like not that they're playing so bad. He also they go to a ping pong ball one and Bobby puts all the ping pong balls in his mouth. He goes, look, Dad, I'm the commish, which is I don't know what that's from.
I don't either. That's pretty funny.
He looks like that old like Guinness Book of World Records guy with the billiard balls in his mouth.
Yeah.
But then they
Maybe
go.
That guy's the commissioner of the Guinness.
I don't know, man.
Yep, that's it.
But the next one they go to is the shooting game where you shoot ducks, and Bobby's like incredibly good at it.
Yeah, so. He's like, all right, son. He's expecting him to fail. And he's like, you just got to line it up. And what does he say? Something about the, like, don't be ashamed to use the sight or something.
He said, it's not cheating.
It's not cheating. And then he goes, pa-ding, and he gets the first fucking duck. He lines up the sight. And then he's like, oh, yeah, lucky shot, Bobby. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he gets the other 5.
So at first, he's stoked about this. So in the car ride home, he's like gloating about him and saying he must have killed 1,000 ducks.
And Bobby, way to kill ducks. He must have killed 1,000 ducks. And then Peggy goes, 1,000 ducks? Any bunnies?
Yeah. Real weird stuff from the hills. Real,
but they just keep repeating 1,000 ducks.
Hank's like, this could be his sport. We should get him a rifle. Peggy goes, yeah,
Peggy does not like that.
He's too young to own a rifle. Hank goes, he's 12. He hasn't been too young for 5 years.
And then she says it would be like giving Boggle to an 8-year-old, even though the box says that that's okay. That's the second 8 and up joke.
They love the fact series. That Boggle. Yeah. Is 8 and up.
But Hank wants to bond with him, and he thinks that this is how he's going to do it.
Yeah. So they're like,
this is his opportunity. Finally, there's something that Bobby likes that he likes.
Yeah, and they're laying in bed talking about it, Hank and Peggy, and he goes, I don't want to wait until the cat's in the cradle and Bobby's too busy with a propane business of his own.
Which and makes... Peggy goes, oh, Hank, you're making me tear up.
Okay, I looked it up. The Commish is an American comedy drama television series that aired on ABC in the U.S. from September 1991 to 1996. Focuses on the work and life of a suburban police commissioner in East Ridge, New York. And it's like...
Was he fat?
Yeah, it's like kind of a fat guy. But I don't...
What's with the balls?
I'm gonna look it up. Oh, there's an episode where he does that.
Okay. Like a
really specific... I was gonna
say, the ping pong balls. All right.
Okay, that's
very
crazy.
Specific.
Show no one's dated, ever seen.
And I guess that show probably isn't good because I've never even heard of it.
Yeah.
The Commish.
But Bobby like loves TV, so that makes sense.
Yeah, he does. All right. That's so funny.
Now they're at Megalomart. Hank asks someone, where's the children's gun section?
Yes. She goes, aisle 47.
Yeah. And then Bobby starts asking all these questions like, can I get a gun? Can I put a gun rack on my bike? Hank goes, do you know how long I've been waiting for you to ask me that?
It's like very sweet. This whole episode is so twisted and sweet.
Yeah.
And then,
so they
go to the fucking gun counter. And like, do they have gun, like, because this reminded me of like Academy Sports and Outdoors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or like the store where like you just go to the back of the store and the whole back wall is guns.
But like they have guns at Walmart. And I think that's kind of like what they're commenting on.
Do they
on
have
here.
That? Is that everywhere?
Well, certainly Texas.
Yeah. Which
is what they're, you know, where they are. You know what? Okay, so I was thinking a lot about this episode of The Simpsons that kind of aired around the same time. It's really interesting in comparison to this. Because, yeah. Like, people will say there's this episode of The Simpsons called The Cartridge Family, and it's like, you couldn't air it today. Like, it's actually really wild, the level of gun commentary they were getting away with on, like, you know, regular television.
Yeah, primetime.
I think it was written by, what's his face? There's a guy who was a writer for The Simpsons who was one of the best writers. Like, he wrote banger episodes. He wrote the Frank Grimes episodes famously. And he was like a recluse. Like, he wouldn't write in the office. You know, he would just sort of write the scripts and send them in. And but the weird thing about him is that he's a fucking libertarian. And so he's a real smart guy, but, you know, probably misguided in my personal opinion in a lot of ways if you end up as a libertarian. But he was really into weird shit like gun ownership. So the Simpsons episode is like Homer gets a gun and he's like using it to fucking turn on and off the TV and stuff. And like, he's like really irresponsible.
Yeah, I remember it.
And then it sort of ends with like Mo and the guy with one arm and like the local NRA chapter, like showing him how to be a responsible gun owner. And it's weird kind of Second Amendment-y right wing, like,
episode moral. Of The Simpsons.
Yeah, like a moral theme thing or whatever.
Yeah, which does not happen often in a real way. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like kind of flew under the radar, I think, as for how weird
maybe
it is.
That, I guess that those are the episodes written by that guy.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, like, sometimes that happens on The Simpsons, and it's very weird.
What the fuck is his name? I'm going to look it up. It's John Swartzwelder. That's the fucking guy.
Okay.
He's weird. He wrote a bunch of the fucking bangers, but odd person. Well, anyway, this episode, I was thinking about in comparison the whole time, because, like, this, it doesn't even have as much of a comment on, like, it doesn't really, like...
Like, guns as an issue.
It doesn't have an opinion, but it is interesting because it shows you, like, there's jokes about both sides of the gun argument, and it does kind of make fun of gun owners and then also kind of make fun of, like, anti-gun people a little bit. But it's almost more so makes fun of, like, guns rights people than The Simpsons.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's, like, one line that really, really sticks out to me, and it's when Peggy, like, I don't want to jump, like, far ahead with the plot, but Peggy at one point says that guns are what's keeping this family together. Yeah. And, like, that, like, summed it all up for me. Like, I got the whole thing when she said that. Like, because I was a little confused on, like, the message of all of it, you know? But it's just all, it's all satire. And, like, yeah, it's just commentary on gun nuts in Texas. But it's very accurate.
even though
it seems, like, poetic and weird and, like they're like these characters are cartoons, so obviously they're so in love with guns as a concept, but, like, it's I know people like that, you know?
Yeah. I read something really interesting recently. This guy did this thread on Twitter about King of the Hill and how I guess, like, people tend to want to like the characters, so it's hard to really grapple with the fact that they are, like, Republicans and shit, you know? But, like, the way this guy explained it, it made sense. Is he's like, this isn't a comedy. This is, like, a really funny piece of Americana. Like, it's like, it's almost like the painting of the guy with the pitchfork, you know? But, like, if it was funny.
It's American Gothic,
Yeah.
But it's Peggy and Hank, and he has no butt. I guess it doesn't matter because you don't see it.
Yeah. You can only see his high and tight haircut. But anyway.
Yeah.
That's why this is so weird. So they're like buying a gun, and Hank is explaining that he's, my father bought me a gun, and his father bought him.
Yeah,
this
is like
gun.
The 22 my dad got me.
Yeah, which is weird because that becomes a thing later in the episode. So then, later they're at the Arlen Gun Club. They're walking up to this weird building, and Bobby goes,
I thought this was a crack house. It's like a fucking shack. Like, it looks like the gun club, like, out in Canyon Lake, that was, like, out by my elementary school. Like, just a fucking shack with, like, it's probably got, like, a Trump flag out front now.
Well, they always kind of have to be out in the sticks because you have to be away from shit to shoot.
Yeah, so you have to have a range. Yeah.
They are just kind of like this. So they go in.
Buildings don't have to look like that.
No, they do.
They don't have to look like fucking murder shacks that, like, sell hot dogs, like, on rollers.
So okay. Dale is...
It's very specific.
That is a specific detail. Dale is standing around in, like, fucking camo. Fatigues.
And a beret.
Yeah, he's got a fucking beret on sideways. Like, he's a special ops guy.
Yeah.
And he's in the middle of telling the story about how he was out hunting and some other guy showed up wearing the same fatigues as him. And it was, like, so gauche or whatever. And Hank brings Bobby and sort of, you know, says, hey, can we use your shooting range? And Dale says, there's a $2 charge for non-members to shoot here. And then, like, Bobby goes, what's the membership cost? Dale goes, lifetime membership is free. Which doesn't make any sense. Then Hank looks around the room and there's, like, this wanted soldiers for local rebellion $5 an hour ad for, like, some January 6th shit.
Yeah.
And a mouse's head on, like, a
mouse's head mounted. And he goes, oh, I think I'll pay the $2.
Yeah, it's, like, not worth it to be part of this fucking world.
And as he walks out, Dale goes, Hank's jacket. It is so Desert Storm.
Oh, that's fucking funny.
Yeah.
So then you're shooting, and Bobby just keeps hitting bullseyes.
Yeah.
And he's like crazy talented at shooting. This other guy kind of leans over and he goes, "Hey, are you guys entering the father-son fun shoot?" And Bobby's like, "All right, being father and son is finally going to pay off." I started doing Dale there accidentally.
and he's like, "Father and son fun shoot sponsored by the Arlen Endowment for the Arts."
That's so fucking funny. Yeah. Shooting a gun is an art.
The great ballet.
So everything's going well. Hank's really excited about it until it comes time for him to shoot. And I guess he kind of forgets that he can't shoot. Because what happens is he goes, "I can't remember the last time I shot
it." You repressed it.
Right, yeah. It's just psychology happening.
Yeah.
He goes, "I can't remember the last time I shot a 22, but I could bet you there was a Texan in the White House. And I ain't talking about Herbert Walker Bush."
It was badass. He's like lining up the sight when he says it.
But it's like, what is Hank's politics if he's like super conservative?
Well, people don't like George Bush's dad.
Why?
Like Republicans thought he was like a sniveling little dude, you know?
Thought he was too soft.
Yeah, they didn't respect him.
That's crazy because he was a fucking CIA spook. Like he's bad.
But they didn't, I think it was just like his demeanor. Like he didn't carry himself the way that they thought that he should, you know?
Oh, right. He had like he threw up when he went to Japan and shit.
Yeah, like he was like yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, they thought he was like a little bitch or something.
He also was like, Texans don't like the deep state, so that kind of makes sense if they understood that he was a CIA.
But they loved his fucking son.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing in the world. All his son had to do was pretend to be a cowboy.
Yeah, the cognitive dissonance is fucking crazy. They're like, "We hate your dad, but you're different."
Right.
Like, what are you? Because he has a fucking accent and he can ride a horse.
Yeah, he's probably from
like
Texas.
Ronald Reagan. That's because he was like the new Ronald Reagan.
Just inspect my wallet, please.
And he's not even from Texas. He was born in Connecticut.
Insane.
Insane in the membrane. Man, I hate the fucking Bushes, dude.
Did you know that, remember the joke on the Lollapalooza, the episode of The Simpsons where, what's their fucking Insane in the Membrane, those guys...
They're actually doing a concert with the London Symphony Orchestra.
What the fuck is their name? It's escaping me right now.
Cypress Hill.
Cypress Hill. Yeah, they're actually doing the London Symphony Orchestra.
I watched the trailer for it. It looks really funny and beautiful. It's like a well acted kind of funny trailer. They're like, "Did we actually do this?" And then there's like smoke. That's very campy and good, and I'm excited. I love when The Simpsons comes true.
They've been like, there's a lot of funny stories about Cypress Hill. They seem like they're actually funny people.
Yeah, I like them.
Anyways, Hank can't shoot, and then we get a flashback to baby Hank or toddler Hank, I guess. Child Hank and Cotton Hill yelling at him.
He probably was a fucking. Probably did give him a gun when he was a baby. Yeah. But it's like trauma, like flashbacks, like PTSD.
It's kind of in sepia tone for a second. And Hank is, he's a little kid. So when he's getting the gun thrust on him and he's being forced to shoot, he goes, "I want my binky back."
Yeah, I wrote down Hank can't shoot because Cotton is a terrible father. terrifying.
Yeah. He's yelling all this weird shit about World War II at him and shit.
At the child.
Yeah. Anyway, after that, they're at the breakfast table. Bobby's wearing a vest. He's reading a gun magazine. And every time he's
pleasure,
mentioned.
Kill, and leisure.
Crazy.
And he's like, "This gun's nice. Ooh, this gun's nice." He's like, it's like when you get into a new hobby and you start looking at all the stuff.
Yeah, and Hank is like,
and that's a very little kid thing. Like, when you start a new sport, you like want all your shit. You know, like I didn't like yeah, you just start looking at all the cool stuff you could get, and your parents are like, no.
Yeah, especially because kids jump from thing to thing. So it's like you bought.
Yeah, that's like you're excited about something. And you're like, let's buy everything. They're like, no, actually.
So Hank is, but now Hank has pulled a 180 because now he's like, he's unrepressed.
Ashamed of it. Like deeply ashamed, and he has to hide it from his family. So now he's being like short, and he goes, yeah, they're all nice guns. Every gun is nice.
Peggy's like, you're finally having a conversation. In no time, you'll be better than your father. And Hank gets all pissed off about that and goes like, oh, you think he's going to be better than me? Let's see him hold down a job and be so good at shooting. And Hank says, before we buy a bunch of paraphernalia and accessories and whatnot, let's make sure we're not getting into another tap lesson situation, which is the thing I was just talking about.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Let's get you into one of those safety courses. And after they take all the fun out of it, let's see if you're still interested in a poncho or whatever.
Yes. And like, it's so sad because he's like, look, Dad, it's a double poncho. That zips together. And he's, Hank's like, shut the fuck up. Yeah. But he's just doing it to stall for time. But like, everybody has full faith in him. Like, Peggy doesn't even know that he can't shoot, you know?
Yeah, and it's just so unfair to Bobby because, like, he's
Bobby Hank is so excited and he's good at it and he's really stoked to spend time with his dad. But Hank is letting his pride get in the way of being with his son.
And Hank's been trying to do shit like this for so long that it's like,
yeah.
Like, come on, now he wants to do one of the things, you know?
But isn't that always the way? Like, you get, like it, something starts happening for you and you can't let yourself do it?
I suppose so.
Very human struggle here.
Damn, that's deep.
Yeah, dog.
So they're at gun safety instruction course, and there's this fucking instructor who is so good. He starts off by saying, I didn't know it was loaded. Is never an excuse. And then he tells the story about how he accidentally shot his eye and also his thumb. And he's got like an eye patch and a missing thumb.
And I shot off my thumb and then my eye, and I would have been a stub if not for the NRA guidelines that I eventually accepted.
But he's like a regulatory, like he has to teach this class, so it's all like robotic, like he's saying the words that he said a million times
that I eventually accept.
Eventually
he's the teacher and he's like, hey guys, I was almost a stub.
Right, he eventually accepted the rules. Yeah. he really didn't want to,
but now he's teaching them.
But then he sees Bobby shoot and he grabs his like his target thing, and every time Bobby shoots he's like nothing but bullseyes, so he grabs the target and he's like, oh my god, he runs out into the range in front of a bunch of people shooting. He goes, hey guys, look at this.
Oh yeah, he's telling the story about how he used to get so excited. That's how he did it. He used to get so excited he would run out to show people his targets, and then he gets excited about Bobby and he does the exact thing that he just warned against. And how he lost his eye and his thumb. And he's in between two guys with their guns drawn. And they both shoot. And he holds out his arms in the middle of the two people shooting.
Oh, it's so funny.
It's such a good episode. Okay.
So next they're in the living room. Hank is he's making excuses, saying, oh, he's too busy. There's a new propane season. He needs to call about buying some guy named Heck Dorland's motorcycle. Just a King of the Hill universe character I don't know if we ever meet again.
That's just a throwaway.
Bobby's still interested. Peggy doesn't understand why Hank isn't interested. So she says to Hank, you love guns. Bobby loves guns. And then she does bad Spanish, but with Latin. She tries to say carpe diem.
She says carpe diem.
She says diem.
Diem, yeah. Carpe diem, but in bad Spanish.
Yeah, it's incredible. Now they're at the range. Bobby is now critiquing Hank. He's saying like, why would you squeeze the, you know, the barrel or whatever the what was it called? The handle, you know, don't choke up on the, this and that, yada, yada, yada. Right. Then Hank has another flashback to Cotton. Cotton's got a bunch of kids shooting and he's yelling, "You will all eventually be drafted into the war. Some of you, like Hank, will be killed."
Yeah, he said he's gonna die. It's his troop.
Yeah.
His like little Boy Scout troop or whatever.
Hank, he's shooting badly, so he makes an excuse, says there's a problem with the gun's shaft. And then Bobby goes, "There's no shaft on a gun," because he's like already picked up all this stuff.
Yeah.
So that Hank has gone into the inside part of the range to go deal with whatever the fuck he's going through.
Enter. Yeah, he puts his head in his hands, and there's just this dude sitting in the break room.
Weird Wallace Shawn guy wearing a purple windbreaker.
Dr. Philip Nye.
He introduces himself and explains that he's a sports psychologist. And he says, "Maybe I can help you. I worked with the Cowboys." Hank goes,
and he goes, "When?"
He goes, "Last year." And Hank goes, "Goodbye." Because apparently they didn't have a good year last year.
Yeah.
So then the guy, this is Wallace Shawn. He kind of wins him over when he says,
"Well, do you want to talk about Wallace Shawn?"
Absolutely. Please tell me everything you know.
Because I did. When I was watching the episode, Jake texted me and was like, "All right, Doug, I'm ready." And I was like, "Hey, man, I got distracted for half an hour researching Wallace." And I was just going deep in on his voice acting work.
You went down a Wallace Shawn wormhole.
One episode of The Simpsons.
A rabbit hole, I guess.
Yeah, rabbit hole. The cartoon rabbit hole. Bugs Bunny hole. He was in a Goofy movie. He's in The Incredibles. He plays Vizzini in all of the Princess Bride video games.
Whoa. There's Princess Bride video games?
Yeah. And he, of course, he's motherfucking Rex from Toy Story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But we all know that.
I never really knew that. I didn't know him when
you
I was
did?
A kid. I did know that the wiener dog was Ernest.
Yeah. Cool. Jim Varney.
Yeah.
There's a documentary coming out about Ernest.
Good. I heard he's like actually really smart and stuff. He's like one of those people.
Yeah, he was a Shakespearean actor. And it's called The Importance of Being Ernest.
That rules.
Yeah, I'm excited. But yeah, he's been in all sorts of stuff. This Wallace Shawn. But we were talking about it. Yeah, he like lends his voice to a bunch of things, but he's always just it's always just his voice. He doesn't do like accents or anything.
Yeah.
It's like, we want this character to sound like Wallace Shawn.
I never put it together, but I had his voice in my head because of what he says here forever. I think about it every time I shoot a gun or like have to do something like this or a bowl or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because he says, first thing he says in a very obvious Wallace Shawn voice is he goes, "You know, sports are 10% physical, 100% mental." And Hank goes, "That's 110%, which is a thing Hank says all the time. And then he thrusts his arm in the air and he goes, "Breakthrough," because he's a psychologist. And Hank goes, "Do you just hang out here all day waiting for someone to miss a lot?" To which he responds, "Oh, just in the morning when the lousy shots arrive. In the afternoon, I go to the bowling alley. Losers are very predictable." And then he hands his card to Hank, and as he's walking away without even seeing him, he goes, "You're going to tear it up," as Hank was literally about to tear it up, proving losers are very predictable. Very clever.
Yeah, he knows what's going to happen. He's a sports psychologist.
So later in the car, Hank or Bobby goes, he's like saying, when can we go shoot again? What about in the morning? What about after school? What about before dinner? And Hank is making all these excuses and saying like, oh, you can't shoot before dinner. It'll ruin your appetite or whatever. And then Bobby goes, what if I bring guns to school and squeeze off a few rounds? Which is like, so funny. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that you couldn't make this or that today thing. But that feels like something that like it would be harder to get on like network TV.
Yeah. Well, it's not as like, I guess now because it's been 30 years of constant shootings. It's like, you know, back then it was not so every day.
Yeah. It was, you just kind of had like Columbine or whatever, which I don't even know if it happened at this point. 97.
Yeah. I don't know. That was 1999, right?
I think, I don't really know. But
yeah, that's a, yeah, I don't think you could now because shootings happen every day.
Right, because it's
or
like,
it wouldn't be received the same way.
It would probably be, see, people always try to say, oh, this is like a culture thing or whatever. Like, oh, people are too uptight now or whatever. But
it's not about that. It's about it's not the culture. It's the fact that they happen every day.
Well, it's liability. It's like the censorship happens on like TV and shit like this because of just like, oh, are we going to get sued? It's not about like anyone actually giving a shit about a thing.
Anyone caring about the content. Yeah.
Yeah. And that probably is more likely to happen now that there's like a mass shooting constantly. Yeah. Anyways, sidetrack. But Hank goes, you shouldn't take guns to school. They're dangerous. So Hank starts to adopt a bunch of like liberal kind of gun control shit because it's the only way to rationalize it and not admit what's really going on, which is that he has like a psychological issue.
Yeah.
Dale overhears this all of a sudden.
Yeah, the guys approach and they're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Dale's like, what? And Bill's like, what's this about guns being dangerous? I just keep doing Homer when I try to do them. Hank says they kill people. And Dale goes, the guns don't kill people. The government kills people. Bill says they've been around for years. Guns have been around for years. If they weren't dangerous, someone would have said something.
Yeah, just all the funny classic jokes that you make about guns. And then Hank, like, gets Dale. He's like, well, the NRA is a Washington, D.C. based organization. Dale, are you telling me that you trust Washington, D.C.?
And Dale's like got a cigarette hanging in his mouth for a second, and then he goes,
and it like almost falls to the ground.
He goes, that's a thinker. Yeah. Which is also a good point if you're talking to like NRA people at any point. Like, that is kind of a thing that they...
Yeah, it's like the point.
I think they don't realize they're kind of being duped in a lot of ways by...
No, it's like literally the... fucking idiots.
Another thing Hank says is most deaths in homes are from guns and gun accessories.
That made me laugh so much.
That's just how he talks
all
the time.
That's just his language. That's how he describes gun and gun accessories.
So Dale comes back at him with like the what are you gonna do if someone breaks into your house scenario, which is like the fantasy that all gun nuts have all the time, is that that's gonna happen. And Hank correctly goes, that's what he says, that's right out of NRA magazine, the August issue, which is apparently a magazine he also reads. And Boomhauer goes, he does a Boomhauer thing, and he goes like, you know, dang old NRA, man, dismemberment insurance. You get like $20,000 if your arm blows off, man.
I guess, well, he's got a point.
Anyway, Hank goes, I'm not going to shoot in any contest. And when he says that, Bobby sees him from like around a corner and gets sad.
And it breaks his heart.
He's cleaning his gun, sadly, which is very funny. And he throws out his vest in the trash can because he figures out.
He's like stuck by the trash can. He's so sad. He's out there the whole time. He takes his vest off and then he takes his pants off.
His shooting pants, apparently.
His shooting pants, and puts them in there. He's always taking his pants off. Bobby's always just in his little kid underwear. It's so funny. Yeah, he takes his pants off and his vest off, and he's just standing outside by the trash can.
So then Bobby's talking to Peggy, and he says, yeah. I think I messed up. I made Dad not like guns anymore. Peggy says, that's not true. Your father's love for guns is unconditional.
They both think that it's Bobby's fault. Like, Peggy has that unwavering faith in Hank. She has, it doesn't even cross her mind that he can't shoot, you know? So, like, she's like, yeah, it must be you, Bobby. And they're both like, yep, it's you. So Peggy goes to talk to Hank. That's so funny. Like, Peggy's like, yep, you must suck.
Well, because, like, Bobby's saying, like, oh, it must be my fault, which is, like, a common thing that kids do. And the responsible thing to do as a parent is to say, it's not your fault. But she responds by going, yeah, it must be.
Yeah, exactly.
Really funny. Man.
So Peggy goes to talk to Hank, and Hank finally admits to her that he can't shoot.
He says, I can't shoot. And then she, like, stares into space for a second and says, I still love you.
Yeah, it, like, shakes them to the core.
Yeah, just, like, process
it. It, like, there's a rift in their marriage briefly.
Yeah, it's so important. Hank says, yeah, but will the rest of the town be so forgiving? And Peggy goes, do not take this away from him. That's not fair. Hank then goes, yeah, life's not fair. That's a good lesson for the boy. So he can spin
she
it
says,
that way.
Guns are what's keeping this family together. That's yeah. what she says. This very poignant line.
Rules. It's so funny. So then Hank runs outside to where Bobby's throwing away his pants, and he goes, no, we're going to do the contest. And he goes, you know, but what you need to know is sometimes you lose, and that's just, you know, part of life or whatever. And Bobby, who's internalized all of Hank's bullshit over the years, now that he's winning at something, he goes, that's loser talk. You never lose. The Hills don't lose. We fought for Texas at the Alamo, which is really funny because that's Texas lost.
Everybody
the Alamo.
Lost, and if they were alive, they were put to death. Yeah. They were shot.
But that is, like, a very common, like, leap of logic, I guess, or whatever, yeah. Or cognitive dissonance among, like, Texans. It's, like, to forget, because that's a celebrated thing, but we lost.
Yeah, remember the Alamo was the battle cry at San Jacinto because they killed everyone to, like, get to, like, rally against Santa Ana. But people now think of, because of, like, the, you know, fucking John Wayne movies and all that stuff, like, we forget, because they're painted as such heroes, sometimes people forget that we lost.
Yeah.
And we did.
Oh, yeah.
He says, Bobby goes, we're going to get a trophy.
He's all excited.
Yeah.
So then, in between that and the actual tournament, Hank goes to the Wallace Shawn psychiatrist. He busts in the door and he goes, all right, here's the deal. I don't believe in any of that gobbledygook, pills, witchcraft, or hypnotism or whatever. You're gonna fix me without using any of that crap. And the psychiatrist goes, well, I can help you without using any of that, but it will be difficult. Like, without using witchcraft or whatever.
Without using witchcraft and gobbledygook.
But it will be difficult. And then he goes on to explain, visualization is the only legitimate thing people like me practice.
That made me laugh so much. I've just gotten out of therapy.
Oh man, it's so funny. He's like a kind of open con artist, but his thing, like, works. He knows it works. And so it's funny because that causes Hank to almost have a breakthrough. Like, Hank then interrupts him and goes, as they're, like, shooting, Hank stops and it starts talking about his father and going, like, you know, my father always yelled at me when I shot. And then the fucking psychologist interrupts him and then goes,
he cuts him off.
Yeah, and he goes, like, why don't you visualize a hummingbird or whatever?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, okay. Your dad, sure.
Yeah, so he's like an idiot too.
But Hank finally pops one off and it hits the target.
Yeah, because he's like, the visualization thing is working, but the fucking psychologist keeps going, like, visualize a ray of sunshine. And he's like, no, how about I visualize an F1 fighter or whatever, like a fighter jet.
Yeah, we said, say, this is going to be hard, but you got to say, to the end of the rainbow.
He goes, He's like, God, you know, he says, Hank, I can't remember what he says. He says something. And then the guy goes, say whatever you want.
Yeah. So Hank decides to say, prepare for speed.
Yeah.
While visualizing the airplane.
Like some Top Gun shit.
But it's just an airplane flying in the target. And at first I was like, is he visualizing shooting the airplane with the gun? Or is the gun the bullet?
I think the gun is like the bullet. It's taking off of his gun, yeah. Kind of. Whatever.
Prepare
it works.
Prepare for top speed.
You know, that they do let you do shit like this in psychology. Like if you go to AA and you're like a hardcore atheist, they go like, look, you just pray to whatever. Like a lot of atheist alcoholics have told me that they like I knew a guy who was like, I pray to my house. I do all the stuff they tell me. I just worship my house because I don't want to worship God. Oh, yeah. You're allowed to sub in your own weird shit. So Hank, you're valid here. But the thing he says, to the end of the rainbow. That's what goes through my head every time I'm like bowling or shooting darts or something like that. I think about it every time.
That's really funny. I do the sign of the cross and say it in Latin when I bowl. I go, in nomine patri et filii et spiritus sancti. With the bowling ball, I do the cross.
That's funny. You don't say carpe diem?
Carpe diem. So then they go to the gun tournament now.
Yeah, they're at the gun tournament.
And the announcer is clearly Johnny Hardwick.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, welcome to the...
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I did not notice.
It's just him doing his, like, old, like prospector voice.
He's announcing the event.
There's girls in bikinis.
Yeah, there's girls in bikinis like illustrating, acting out all of the events as he announces them. So the first one is the tandem shoot, which is two people shooting at the same time, I guess. The next one is quick draw, where you turn around and shoot. And then the third
event. Two girls in the bikinis just whip these fucking guns around at the crowd.
Right. Everything's facing the crowd.
Everything's
Oh, man. It's fucking so funny. The third event is the pretend to be sleeping and grab the loaded gun under the bed to shoot a figure in the shadows event.
It's a girl in a bikini laying in a bed.
And it's like, it is the NRA guy fantasy. That is the thing that people say is why they That's have a million happen. Guns yeah. in their house. Happens
the good
to people.
Guy with the gun that was sleeping and woke up and was able to get the gun without shooting his face off.
It almost never happens in real life, and when it does, the guy usually shoots himself or something.
Yeah, he shoots his face off or his hand or his foot because it's a loaded gun under your bed in the dark.
I'm not even like a anti-gun, like liberal type person. I like guns, like shooting guns. I'm kind of one of those people, you go so far left, you get the guns back. You're in the socialist racial organization.
No, I like guns as well. I like to shoot them.
But,
I like to shoot cans with them.
Yeah, it's fucking fun. But right-wing gun nuts are still like wrong about a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And they're
very funny. That's an insane, unsafe thing to do.
Yeah, the fact that they mention in that event it's a loaded gun kept under the bed.
Yeah, a loaded gun under your bed. She lifts up the fucking like comforter off of the gun. It's really funny.
Sleeping with a rifle facing up at your head.
Yeah. And what's the thing is like you sleep with like a baseball bat with a sock on it so that if someone comes, you have your baseball bat. And if they try to grab it, they grab the sock and then you get them.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. That's what you should have under your bed. But. Let's get back to the term. Hank's therapist shows up in the stands with a rainbow wig on. And he's like, Hank! And he's pointing at the rainbow wig. And Hank starts trying to like actually focus and use the tools that this psychologist has given him. This like really rang true to me. Like I'm learning how to use all my tools. And I was like, man, Hank.
Oh,
yeah, buddy.
All?
He's like, rainbow something or other. Like, trying to come up with all the lines that he gave him. And then he starts actually making the shots and he's coming up with all these badass lines. And he makes this one shot and he goes, "To the end of the yellow brick road."
Right. He just made up his own.
Right. And then he goes, "How about a little fire, Scarecrow?"
Yeah. And when he says that one, a fucking, like a cop's standee, because he's in the gauntlet section, which is like the thing where like a cardboard cutout of a person like pops
jumps
up.
Out. Yeah.
And I don't even, is that even a real thing? It's always referenced in like shows like this, but like if
I always remember it in like Men in Black too, you know?
My favorite instance of this is in The Simpsons when Marge becomes a cop. She goes through one of these training things and she shoots a bunch of them. And then at the end, she correctly, like a baby will pop up, like a woman with a baby carriage. And she doesn't shoot, thinking that that's like the you're not.
And the baby has a Tommy gun.
Well, at the end, Chief Wiggum goes, "You miss the baby? You miss the blind man?" Like he starts listing all of the ones.
I thought maybe the baby popped out with a gun.
No, it's just that the cop training is you're supposed to shoot all of those people too.
Oh, shoot the baby, shoot the dog.
It's one of my favorite fucking Simpsons jokes. So funny, but anyway, yeah, they're going through one of those things, and when he says, "How about a little fire, Scarecrow?" because he's all feeling his fucking riz or whatever, he a fucking, like, I think it's a police officer one, pops up, and he shoots it, and he blows the guy's thumb off. And so it's not a very good shot, but he doesn't hit it. But in the stands, the guy who fucking, the thumbless instructor sees it, and he starts booing him.
The thumbless, eyeless instructor.
This is so funny. He's in the audience, and then he's also like,
just because it's a thumb.
He's like, "Boo!" Oh man, so funny. It goes well. They take second place, and then to announce the final event, there's a girl that looks exactly like Luann is one of the announcers, but she's not Luann. Because you know that, because after she announces the final match is the like long range accuracy thing or whatever, Luann shows up and she says, "Good news, the McKays, who are the like the first place champions, the returning champions."
The it's first of all, that little boy always looks so sad.
Yeah. It looks like
why does the McKays, the people that are like head to head with Bobby and Hank? He's like a little boy, like little shaved head boy, just like Bobby. And like every time he sits down, he like hangs his head really low.
Yeah, because like his dad is clearly forcing him into this.
Yeah, it was. I did not like that. I was like, guys, come on. I don't want to see that sad little boy.
Okay. Yeah, this is fucked up. So Luann's like, "The good news, the McKays, the kid just blew apart an entire picnic family." So it fucked with their lead a little bit, and now it's like they're neck and neck, and whoever does better in the next event, like, actually is going to win.
Yeah. But so who shows up?
Fucking Cotton Hill. The boy's going to stick vegetables up his nose. He says, "I'm sorry I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR. Which is crazy.
I had to rewind it because I was like distracted and I heard him say that. And I looked up and realized I hadn't been watching. And I... for a moment, I was like, "He has to give a finger to FDR," and I thought he blew off a finger and had to give him a finger, and then I realized, oh, I understand now.
No, he had to flip off a wax figure of a dead president because FDR is clearly, he probably thinks he's a communist or whatever.
Yeah.
And so that he starts kind of joking around and saying, like, "Here, I can be your shoulder to cry on when Hank can't, you know, do the shots or whatever."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Well, the next match is an accuracy one. Better hope that target's the size of a barn." And he starts fucking with Hank's head again.
Yeah. And he's put money on the other family.
Right.
with Dale.
Yeah. And so they go and they shoot and it comes down to the other father's about to shoot and Bobby goes, "Hey, maybe he'll miss." And Hank goes, "We don't want to win that way." But then like he pauses for a second, the guy makes his shot and he goes, "Damn." Cause he actually did. Yeah, win that way.
It's like a bullseye.
So Hank then lines up to do the final shot, and he starts like going through this intense inner monologue and yelling at himself and stuff. And oh my God, is he going to make it? And he does.
He says, "Are you here to talk? Or are you here to shoot?" And he says, "I'm here to shoot. End of discussion."
Right. He's talking to himself and he says, "End of discussion." Oh man. He misses. Then you see Dale paying Cotton money because Cotton had bet on his friend.
Yeah.
Or because Dale had bet on Hank and Cotton had bet against his son. Just fucked up.
Yeah. And then Bobby runs up and he's like, "Dad, we won second place. Look." And he's, "Can I hang it up in my room?" He's like, got the certificate, and he's elated and thrilled and doesn't care at all that they got second place.
Yeah. He's like, he's fucking Bobby Hill. He never gets second place at anything.
Yeah. And he says, "You're the best dad ever. I'm the best son ever." It's like the sweetest thing.
Yeah, I know. It made me so happy because, like, just, I don't know, to know that Bobby Hill has a thing that he's actually good at.
Yeah, and then he's like, "I'm thinking ice cream." Of course.
The ending of this is so weird. The sun starts setting. It. They walk off into the sunset, Bobby and Hank, after having that moment
and
together.
Like, they're like silhouetted.
They're silhouetted. Suddenly you see they get a thumbs up from the thumbless guy. And then they walk away. And as they're like silhouettes are just turning into little dots, they go, "Where do we park?" And then one of them goes that way. And so they start to walk to the side, and it takes up a lot of airtime. And then as they get to the side of the screen, Bobby goes, "We forgot Mom." And then Hank goes, "Let's go get her." And so they start to walk back. And it's like, it must have been that they were like 30 seconds short of fucking screen time or something.
They animate them walking towards the camera.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's really weird. I liked it though. But yeah. I love that he goes, "You're the best dad ever. I'm the best son ever." It's like, and like Hank instantly melts, you know, like he's super upset and he learns all the lessons like right away once he sees Bobby being happy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so
I funny. Like this episode. What a good opening to season two.
Oh, it's like every line is a banger. It's so funny. The stinger at the end of the credits is, "I want my binky back," which also kind of stuck in my head. So now I'm going to read some trivia from the King of the Hill wiki.
Cool.
The rifles that Hank and Bobby are using appear to be pump action 22 caliber rifles, possibly Remington model 572 Fieldmaster rifles. Despite that, it fires semi-automatic and has the trigger guard of a lever action. Ooh.
Ooh.
The character Philip Nye was drawn to look just like Wallace Shawn. However,
no shit.
The cell animation turns out to be different. For example, character's skin turns out to be darker than the kitchen floor is green instead of orange. Character's eye size turns out to be bigger, and so have the rest of the characters. Some of the comedy turns out to be a lot more funny. What the fuck? This is a weird one. That was a bad contribution to the wiki. That was
bad
a
wiki.
Rambling run-on sentence. Big text is in this episode. This is the second episode where Bobby immediately shows a natural ability with a hobby. The first being golfing in season one episode of Hank Gets the Willies. That's true. Hank states that the last time he fired a rifle, a Texan was in the White House. Not only two Texan natives have been president, Lyndon Johnson and Dwight Eisenhower. Oh, interesting. HW isn't even a native Texan either. Hank's birth date is unknown, but his likely age and timing of the series would line up with him being a kid during LBJ's term.
Yeah, I figured it was LBJ.
Oh, holy shit. This next one's interesting. Heck Dorland is mentioned in the episode. And when Hank says he's planning on buying his motorcycle from him, he appears in two episodes later in the series. It's season 3, A Firefighting We Will Go, and season 13, Born Again on the 4th of July.
Whoa.
So we will meet Heck Dorland.
All right. We're going to meet Heck Dorland. What a name.
I know, right? Peggy's shirt changes color at some point. There's a few of those things that happen in the early episodes. Yeah.
I noticed the eyes. It's Hank's eyes. What are you talking about? He has like these, it looks like he's scared.
This one is really interesting. This must have been a real gun nut that saw this shit. To help him hit the target, Hank visualized a McDonnell Douglas L-1011, or sorry, a military nut. But the L-1011 was manufactured by Lockheed, not McDonnell Douglas. Wow, embarrassing.
Oh, shit. Okay. sorry.
That's it. That's all I got.
Well, I like this episode, man.
Yeah, no, it was really good. It was a fucking banger. Let's see. Okay, you know what? I looked up the commish thing, and I don't think he actually puts... The commish doesn't put balls
ping
in his mouth.
Ping pong balls in his mouth?
Bobby is just putting a bunch of ping pong balls in his mouth and making his face fat.
That's what I was wondering. Is he fat and he's putting the balls in his mouth, or does the commish put ping pong balls in his mouth?
It's the former. It's
all right. That's what I thought at first. Okay.
Even weirder, though.
Well, I know, but like, I just get little kid bits.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking understand Bobby. I know what he's feeling, man.
That's you know what? You're right. You do get little kid bits, and that is a little kid bit for sure. I was over. Yeah,
I was like, wait, is he just fat? That makes total sense.
I was over intellectualizing that.
I'm really glad that it was just because he was fat.
All right, banger episode. You got any plugs?
Yep. No, not really.
Just listen to
my record.
Listen to Avery's record. It'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, buy it if you want on Bandcamp, and I'll get some of that money.
Listen to my other podcast, Pod Damn America, if you're into left politics. Listen to my other podcast, Why You Mad, if you like being mad about comedy and philosophy and stuff, and art bullshit. And most importantly, sign up for our goddamn Patreon, 24-hour Gribble Talk Radio, where we have been reading fan fiction from the internet, and it is fucking crazy, dude.
That's my favorite thing to do.
It's so weird. all right, that's it.
Okay, see you later, fucker.